Welcome to Rhema for Today.
But then I really didn't know, when I first started preaching, I didn't know anybody else believed in divine healing except me. I thought I'd found something in the Bible. Didn't anybody else know? I knew my church didn't know about it. They didn't preach it. And so I preached it, though. Now, maybe not as fully and as freely as I do now, because I had enough sense to know that you had to be a little, being Baptist, you had to be a little diplomatic about it. And you just couldn't maybe say everything you'd like to say. In fact, some of my colleagues talked with me, and they wanted me to tone down on it a little bit. They even tried to bribe me.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, the Holy Spirit series, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
We're discussing the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So, if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to open them to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, please. And we're going to begin to read here. Let's notice the 16th and 17th verses. We've looked at them to some extent before in these services, but we'll look again. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Then notice the 26th verse, please. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Then over in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, please, we shall read verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now then, turning to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, let us read the 7th verse, and then the 13th and 14th verses. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now then, verses 13 and 14. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Then turning over to the 2nd chapter of Acts, please, Acts chapter 2. I would like for us to read verse 32 and verse 33. Peter here is speaking on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost." Now you notice that Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he," that's Jesus, "he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Now then, in the church world as a whole, there are various teachings on this subject of the Holy Spirit. But we need to examine our teachings in the light of the Word of God, not in the light of what we've been taught. are not in the light of what our particular church may teach. Now, as I said to you, I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church and actually began my ministry there. The thing that caused me to fellowship with full gospel people was they believed in divine healing. And I believed in divine healing even though I was Baptist. And I prayed for the sick by laying on of hands. For I had been raised up from the deathbed. And in my church, which is a community church, I saw some of my Sunday school teachers who were scheduled for serious major operations instantly get up out of bed and be healed. As I laid hands upon them, or anointed with oil, as a young Baptist boy preacher. But then I really didn't know, when I first started preaching, I didn't know anybody else believed in divine healing except me. I thought I'd found something in the Bible, didn't anybody else know? I knew my church didn't know about it, they didn't preach it. And so I preached it though. Now maybe not as fully and as freely as I do now, because I had enough sense to know that you had to be a little... Being Baptist, you had to be a little diplomatic about it. And you just couldn't maybe say everything you'd like to say. In fact, some of my colleagues talked with me and they wanted me to tone down on it a little bit. They even tried to bribe me. They said, if you'll just tone down on this healing business a little bit, why, they'd give me a better church. See to it that I got it. Of course, Baptists don't send you, but they can influence it anyway. Amen. Congregation elects you, but they can do something about it anyhow. And so they offered to promote me, you see. Now, we don't mind you, they said, one minister said, we don't mind you preaching faith and prayer to some extent. But just don't say anything about it. Just don't go as far as you go. Well, I said, no, I won't accept that because I'm planning on going further. I'm not saying near. I'm toning it down already just to get along with you. And I planned to go further than that. I didn't have any public healing services. I preached it publicly and prayed for them privately. But I said, it may shock you, but I'm planning on having public healing services. And invite the folks to come for healing just like I do for salvation. Lay hands upon them. And oh, that just did floor them, showing up. That flabbergasted them, you know. And so I said, no, I'm not toning down on it. I'm toning up on it. Praise the Lord. I've just been saying a little bit about it so I can use that as a springboard to really take off here. Well, I finally found out. In fact, I was busy with church work and going to school in the daytime and preaching. Well, not preaching every night, of course, but having something to do with a committee meeting or something, you know, every night. And somebody came to our town, put up a tent, and they called it a full gospel revival. Well, now, that didn't mean a thing in the world to me. I'd never heard the expression before in my life. Now, you have to remember, see, this is way back 1935. And so my grandmother went to the meetings. And she said to me, son, you ought to go. You ought to go to that full gospel revival. Well, I said, why? Well, she said, that fellow preaches like you believe or else you believe like he preaches, one of the two. She said, never heard anybody sound so much like you in my life. And so I finally one night just cut one meeting short and dropped by the time he'd be preaching, stood outside the tent and listened and enjoyed every bit of it. And then I went and sat down under the tent and listened and enjoyed it all right. But he was just strictly preaching salvation messages then. Finally got about 400 and some odd saved. And then he began to preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I heard him mention it, but I didn't go, so didn't know about it. But then he announced right on the end that he was going to pray for the sick one night. 8 weeks revival, and down about the seventh week, well, he said he's going to, that the Lord still heal people. Man, that went out all over town, you know. And I went into a place of business in the town, and knowing that I was a young minister, some of them said, what do you think about it? I said, think about what? That fellow down there in that tent said he said the Lord heals today, and he's going to preach on it Friday night, and going to pray for the sick. Man, I said, I believe it. Praise God, I've been looking for somebody like that. You know, you need folks to fellowship with that believe like you do.
Oh, amen.
You have to have it.
Yes.
If you're going to stay strong in faith. And I'll tell you, I had something set up, some kind of a church meeting of some description. Well, I don't mean a service, you know. But some kind of committee meeting or something, you know. You got to meet with somebody every night almost. And so if you're a pastor, And I said, I just canceled everything. Man, I said, I'll be there. And I just liked the way he preached it, because he preached it just like I believed it. And so I fellowship with these folks because they believed in divine healing. But of course, I found out too that they believed in something else. They believed in being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Well, now, I'll be honest with you. I fellowship with them around the healing and around salvation and around the second coming because I believed that and agreed with them on that. And I just sort of closed my ears to the rest of it. I mean, particularly the tongues part. I just sort of, you know what I mean? Just sort of glossed over that part of it. And I thought, well, I'll put up with that, you know, just to have the other. But it's like one fella said down in East Texas. He said, it's sort of like a slippery creek bank. You keep fooling around, you'll slip in. And so I did. I did. But now, you see, we were taught among the Baptists that if you are saved, well, you have the Holy Ghost, and that's all the Holy Ghost there is. And that seemed to be the most predominant teaching among Baptists, that is, Southern Baptists. But then in Baylor University in Waco, there was a professor there in the seminary division, and he would say, particularly to the graduating class, now, you young ministers, don't forget this. There is an experience subsequent to salvation called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is an endowment of power from on high. Don't you dare go out and preach without it. And that's about all he dared say about it.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Lynette Hagin's CD titled, Whatever You Need, God's Got It. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's 3-CD set entitled, It Shall Come to Pass. We're also offering Kenneth E. Hagin's book entitled, Your Faith in God Will Work. These three items for the special price of only $25. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
We got some things coming up pretty soon.
Living Faith Conference coming up January the 19th through the 21st. That's in Murrieta, California. That's Sunday through Tuesday at West Coast Life Church with our friends Ray Jean and Beth Wilson.
Yeah, and then we're going to jump up to Sacramento at January 22nd through the 24th. That's Wednesday through Friday at Calvary Christian Center with Dr. Philip and Brenda DeGoe.
Yes.
Godot, excuse me. And, you can go to rhema.org, LFC, and find out all about the information about it, service times and locations and all of that.
Yes.
So we would be glad to see you there. And if you're in the area or if you know somebody in the area, let them know about it, okay?
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free. 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his Holy Spirit series. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.